The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get this living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples asked one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
The name of one God who redeems, creates, and sustains us. Amen. As I have been studying the gospel readings throughout Lent, both when I'm preaching and not, a few weeks ago, I stumbled across a quote, and it has continued to dwell with me as I go through the Lent readings. And I think it is especially applicable for today, but I want you to realize through our Lent gospel readings, we are in the second of 4 weeks of readings from John. And so each week will be from the Gospel of John, and each week we are called to engage, to go deeper. The Gospel of John is one of those where you need to dig a lot, as there are many layers. But the quote that has struck me and stayed with me comes from Cameron Howard, and it is this: "The Bible is not the place to go if you want, like Joe Friday on the old TV show Dragnet, just the facts, ma'am. The Bible is not a collection of facts. It's a collection of stories, poems, songs, prayers, and remembrances. It invites us to dwell over its details, revel in its beauty, and reflect on its difficult questions." And so each Sunday, I've been trying to look beneath the story that Scripture is telling on the surface and to dig a little bit deeper into what Jesus is trying to tell us. I'm personally trying to dwell over the details, revel in the beauty, but perhaps most importantly, reflect on the difficult questions that the gospel brings to light. And I think that the difficult questions is apt with the Gospel of John because there is so much there. But questions are important when you're writing. They're a tool, correct? And questions move the story along. Questions often reveal what's in our head or on our heart, but questions direct us in the path where the author wants us to go. And Jesus begins this story in the Bible. It's actually his longest conversation with any person. Jesus begins this by asking a question. It sounds like a statement, but it's a question. "Give me some water." Maybe we can say it's a request. "Give me some water." And the woman responds back with a question. Why would you, a Jew, ask of me, a woman of Samaria, for water?" And then as it continues and Jesus proclaims that there is living water, she asks, "What? What is this living water?" These questions back and forth bring to light that this isn't just a story of Jesus defining that he, Jesus, or proclaiming he, Jesus, is the living water. All is good and well. Now let's all just get on with the story of Jesus. Today's story is actually a blatant story of racism and sexism and prejudice and how Jesus deals with those evils when he encounters them. So the setup is pretty basic. First, Samaritans and Jews do not talk to each other. They don't. Culturally, at that time, They were other and they kept to themselves, and there wasn't really reason to interact. And the other was that men did not address women they did not know, much less a woman from another culture, and women in turn did not speak with men from another culture. They might be perceived in an inappropriate manner. And so given this, Samaritan woman, Jesus, Jewish male, Jesus engages in a radical approach. Jesus chooses something other than what would have been the norm. Rather than locking his doors and driving around the hood, rather than turning a blind eye, rather than going to find a well that says Jews only, whether an implication or an actual sign, Jesus takes a different approach. And Jesus does not dismiss the woman despite all of her differences. Rather, Jesus engages her. Jesus challenges her to be in relationship, to go deeper. And he does so by going first. You see, Jesus' first request, give me some water, is a request for help. Jesus, for all of his Son of God, Son of Man, is standing at a well and yet cannot draw the water out because he does not have a jar. And yet here comes a woman who does. And so in his asking for help, Jesus draws the Samaritan woman into conversation and into trusting Jesus when, quite frankly, she has no reason to do so. The Samaritan woman, who often is portrayed as a harlot or a loose woman or choose your stereotype, even though there is little indication of any of those in Scripture, this woman who's seen as on the edge, when Jesus asks her a question, while it would have been reasonable for her to have turned and walked away, or even never approached the well when she saw a Jewish man standing there, or actually could have dressed down Jesus for having the gumption to address her and not adhere to the social codes, the woman instead responds with a question back to Jesus. And in that moment, in that back and forth, through asking questions and not making assumptions, Jesus and the Samaritan woman, these two singular people, begin to break down a social barrier and form a relationship that was different from the day. And yet, completely in line with Jesus' understanding of how we are to respect the dignity of every human being, no exceptions. So Jesus and she go back and forth about water from a well and living water. And the living water that comes only from being in relationship to Jesus. And they get to all of this, and then Jesus gives some insight into her life and asks her about a husband. And she says, you are right to say I have no husband. And he says, yes, you've had five. And in fact, the man you're living with right now isn't even a husband. Again, we like to make a lot of assumptions. She gets around, doesn't she? But the text doesn't tell us that. Or was she actually beholden to the law that says the husband or the brother of the husband who has died must marry the wife? And so has there been a series of deaths or something else or divorce? But you see, the thing is, Jesus doesn't care. Jesus doesn't even ask about that. Jesus doesn't even need to say a reason, because Jesus doesn't even admonish her. He doesn't ask her to repent. He only asks her into relationship. That's it. Be in relationship with me. Come and taste this living water. Jesus' point is that living water only exists when we are in relationship with one another and we are in relationship with God, and when we have put our shoulds and our coulds and our well, judgment, maybe, even though, when we put those aside and we really understand that true relationship is most important and primary, that is when we get our drink of living water. The Samaritan woman converted in just this small conversation to a faith in the living water through questions and conversation and new relationship. She understands what this living water can give, and she goes to her village to tell others, and the people listen to her, and then she asks the question, pointing us in a direction, this can't be the Messiah, can it? And in that, in her telling of her story and asking questions, she invites the villagers into the relationship with Jesus, into the well of the living water. She offers it to others, which is exactly what we are to do, to come and to partake. Jesus, in this conversation, Jesus, in this relationship with the Samaritan woman, doesn't care what others are going to say about him. Jesus demonstrates how we are to acknowledge our fear of that which is different and yet take the risk to be in relationship with everyone, even those who we know we have good reason not to be in relationship with. And one of the ways in which we can be in relationship with those who are different from us, or those whose choices we don't understand, or those whose lives are different, is to ask questions, to get to know a person, to not make judgments and assumptions before we engage in conversation. Jesus did not ask this woman to change her behavior. And yet, in this gospel story, Jesus asks us to change our behavior toward one another. Jesus asks us to think about all the places where it is easy for us to judge and give a good reason and walk away. Jesus, in this, asks us to think of all the people that we don't want to talk to for whatever justified reason we have. And Jesus, in this story, tells us that is not following Jesus. Through this story, I think Jesus tells us to move through our fear, to move through our issues of preconceived notions of who people are and what their motivations are. Jesus tells us that first and foremost, we are to change our behavior and to be in relationship with people who are most different from ourselves. And it's a challenge in our world. I won't lie about that, but you already know it. If you look on the front page of any paper or the headline of any news site, we have a very easy time identifying who the other is. People of color, Muslims, people on welfare, the homeless, immigrants, both legal and illegal. We have a lot of us and them going on. And the truth of the matter is, we always have, but that doesn't mean that we walk away. It means we follow the path of Jesus. And while there are plenty of people that we are told we should be scared of, or who are different from us, or who are less valuable than us, just as being a woman in the time of Jesus, much less a Samaritan woman, made her technically less valuable, the witness of Jesus in our gospel reading today is that we are all of equal value. And therefore, we have no reason not to engage. The way of living water the way of Christ is not just to profess that we follow, but to engage in the really hard work of not judging, to engage in the hard work of acknowledging our fear and asking help to combat it, to engage in the hard work of not just helping, but knowing the person who we are called to help. I love the confession that we use at Lent. We repent of the evil that enslaves us, the evil we have done, and the evil done on our behalf. Because there is still evil in the world. Right, Patty? Patty loves herself some good talk on evil. There is evil. And again, the front pages of our paper this week, it broke my heart that for the third time in 3 months, several college campuses were papered again with white-only propaganda. It is 2017, people. And the sin of racism still exists. The sin that enslaves us, the sin that we have done, the sin that is on our behalf. And as Christians, we are called to confront this. As Christians, we are called to say, not now, not ever. And we can't just say that's on some campus far away from us, because it's in every one of our lives. And it's a challenge. It's a challenge to take on the hard questions. It is a challenge to engage people who are different from us due to race or gender or religion or socioeconomic class or pick your category. But Jesus calls us to put our Christian faith into action, not just through profession, but into action. And so, coming back to the questions, I ask us, each of us today, is where do we need to begin asking questions of ourselves? Where do you and I begin to ask others questions so that we can begin to break down some of our judgments? Where we can learn about brothers and sisters rather than judging them. But most of all, I think Jesus asks us today, where are you? Where am I being called to offer the living water of Jesus Christ? That water that gives life like no other. Where are we being called to offer that living water to those not just in need, but to those most different from each of us? Amen.